Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time.
Oh, my goodness. I had to sit that way with my back to you to watch that, but that was a lot of fun. It is the first day of the week in Scripture at early dawn. It's a new beginning, a fresh start, and isn't that what we all long for? With COVID fresh on our minds, we long for a new day. We are ready for a fresh start. And that's exactly how Scripture begins. Understand, this is so much bigger. This is so much better than that. This story can speak to this time, the here and now, but it speaks to all time. It speaks to every situation. I'll let the story guide us into that understanding. But first, let's pray. Risen Christ, open our eyes that we might see. Give sight to the blind. Guide us to knowledge. We won't walk out of this worship service today with complete understanding, but may we, by your Spirit, go from worship today with deeper faith, with stronger connection to you. Amen. Notice in the first verses of Scripture, the word they is used five times. They had prepared. They found the stone. They went in. They did not find the body. They were perplexed. But who were they? Scripture will answer that question eventually, but let's look at what gets revealed first. They came to the tomb. They were most likely those who were shouting in the face of oppression last week, "Jesus is King." They are the ones who had placed their hope, their confidence, their future, and their faith in Jesus. Only to then watch him brutally crucified on the cross. Hope diminished, confidence shattered, future gone. What faith? In what? In who? It had all been taken away, and yet they came to the tomb to pay their respects, to prepare the body. They knew where to go because they had seen Jesus' lifeless body placed there. And they go early, possibly to avoid being seen, only to find that the stone has been rolled away. And that puzzles me because what were they going to do if the stone hadn't been moved? Were they strong enough to push away that boulder? Ashley and I have had several conversations about the temple veils being removed, about God being revealed layer by layer. Jesus, however, isn't covered by a veil. Jesus has been sealed with a stone, but the stone has been removed, not by any person, but for every person. We have access, complete and total access. We can now access the throne of God through Jesus Christ. And they go in and they expect to find Jesus. And why would they expect to find anything else? but they did not find the body. Think about that. Hopeless, insecure, at a dead end, faithless. Everything that they had invested in was gone. All that they had thought to be true had been proved wrong. This was the one thing that they could cling to, that the dead would be where the dead had last been placed. The NRSV uses the word perplexed as their response. Other versions say they wondered. There's one version that says they were wondering and they were perplexed. They were massively confused, and rightfully so. And then heaven shows up and dazzles them. And for the first time, the NRSV version of Scripture says or gives us this glimpse of who they are, the women. And they are terrified. Of course they are. The man who had healed their sickness, released them from demonic possession, brought back their dead relatives, loved them, was now dead. And he wasn't able to save himself. And so was their great hope. But so strong was their love that even when crushed, they cling to that tiny thread that remains. And they do the only thing that they can do. They go to the grave to prepare his body. Now think about that. Grieving, doing such a horrendous task. This was a woman's duty, and they had probably done it often together as a group, because that's how women do hard things. But this time it was different. This time was worse. The followers had scattered, fearing for their lives, but not this small band. The men were in hiding, disciples denying that they had ever known Jesus, worried for their safety. The last thing the women probably wanted was to be dazzled. Isn't it a good thing to know that God gives us what we need and not what we want? They just wanted to have lifeless Jesus lying there. They just wanted to do what they knew how to do. The men in shining clothing ask a very interesting question. Why do you look for the living among the dead? But that's not what they thought they were doing. They thought they were looking for the dead where the dead were supposed to be. Maybe that question is for us also, because don't we make that same mistake? We look for life among the dead. We want to resurrect the past. We want to reinvent or recreate an image that never was. We look for life and fame and fortune and popularity and pride. Dead places. He is not here because he has risen. And then what I believe to be the most significant word in the entire passage, remember. Jesus had told them numerous times exactly what would happen. Remember. And Scripture says they remembered the words, and they go tell the 11 and all of the rest. And notice, now we see their names: Mary Magdalene, Johanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with them. They have stepped into their identity. They have been named. They step into their calling and their purpose. They've been called the apostles to the apostles. A commentary that I studied from Working Preacher said this: their remembering is a recalling of Jesus' earlier teachings, but it's also a remembering insofar as they remember the body of Christ. They seek to draw together again a community that has been dismembered, torn apart by fear and confusion, by grief and distress. The men They don't believe their story. But don't make the mistake of thinking that this is about gender, because that's a trap that we fall into way too often. Peter runs for himself, notice that he runs, which is an act of humility, and he stoops. Being humble, lowering yourself, it is necessary to see the truth. We don't do it nearly often enough. And he leaves amazed. The disciples will also step into their own callings. They will accomplish incredible things in and through the Spirit in their time. Why do we always use Scripture as a tool for exclusion when it was intended to be a tool for inclusion? The Gospel of Luke closes with Jesus ascending into heaven, creating an opportunity for all of his disciples. That's us. That's those of us who follow him today, men, women, boys, girls, to remember in similar ways. This isn't a story about the messengers. This is a story about the message and the power therein. And it's as relevant of a story for today, it's meaningful for us here and now, but it's a story for all times. It's a story that speaks to every time. It's a story that speaks to now and next time. Every situation to come, every trouble, every trial, every tribulation that we will ever face. Jesus taught that the two greatest commandments are to love God and to love your neighbor. The scene of the empty tomb presents a way that we can put both of those commandments into action. The women's response reminds us that when we love God, when we love neighbor, when we love ourselves with our words and our actions, we make Christ visible in a world where the divine too often seems absent. We draw community together instead of being pulled apart by fear and confusion, by grief and distress. The resurrection story, it's a story of relevance far beyond today's troubles. It's a story for yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Jesus paid the price for our sins. Jesus conquered death. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear has been eliminated. If we know who holds the future, then we know life is worth the living because he lives. Amen.